This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is the evening edition with Lynn, and we're continuing our show now on World Children's Day by talking about TV pendidikan. So the digital divide between students has been particularly apparent this year, and I think, you know, has just really had a huge impact on the access that students have to education, which is why the television, theoretically, would be a great option to engage children around the country because it isn't reliant so much on the internet. However, Tony Cheng, former Deputy Minister of Education, criticised TV Pendidikan in Parliament this week. And TV Pendidikan is, of course, that initiative that is meant to supply that knowledge, or at least to give access to learning materials. So she called it an embarrassment since it only airs for 2 hours a day and it doesn't cover enough topics. Just for reference, here is what TV Pendidikan sounds like.
Apakah yang terjadi apabila kamu berdiri di tengah panas tanpa sebarang kipas atau payung selama 3 jam? Assalamualaikum dan salam sejahtera murid-murid sekalian. Jika jawapan kamu saya berpeluh, dahaga dan panas, ya, tepat sekali jawapan kamu. Apa kaitannya dengan tajuk kita pada hari ini? Baiklah, murid-murid, saya perkenalkan Sains Tingkatan 1 dari Bab 3, Koordinasi dan Gerak Balas.
So that was just a little snippet of TV Pendidikan. And I think it's interesting to listen to that, especially because a lot of the conversation around going virtual for learning has also focused on how to engage children, right? And especially how to engage children using the technology that is available to you. So, I think contextually, it's good to check that out. By the way, if you don't happen to watch much television or you haven't caught it, you can actually see snippets of it or entire lessons up on YouTube. So back to how much time they actually give for subjects. Form 6 students get 55 minutes for physics and 27 each for economics and history. Others, like primary students, don't actually get taught anything on the program. And Tony Cheng, again, former Deputy Minister of Education, isn't the only one who's come out to criticise TV Pendidikan, because I think actually the former Education Minister, Dr. Mazli Malik, has also done the same. Coincidentally, following these critiques, the Education Ministry announced that they'll be expanding TV Pendidikan to increase student access. They're adding a new program so that it airs for 9 hours each weekday from November 23rd to December 31st. But we still wanted to look at, I mean, what our students have been watching for most of this year, if they have in fact been accessing it, and also talk about ways in which this could be improved. So let us know your thoughts. I mean, like I said, on the surface of it, television would seem to be a good avenue to explore in order to ensure that children are able to get access to learning. But what else could we be doing? What else could we do to improve the situation as it stands? We do have a poll running at the moment on Twitter, which is asking this question. And our options were to reopen green zone schools, to distribute more laptops, to boost internet access, and, you know, others, you know, share your ideas. So far, 47.1% are saying internet access is the key. 34% are saying reopen green zone schools, and 13% are saying distribute more laptops. Let us know if you agree with that or if you have other ideas. That number to call is 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we will be speaking with YB Tony Cheng, so keep it here on the evening edition, BFM 89.9.
Boleh for Malaysia. Ha. BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 7:14. This is the evening edition with Lynn, and we are continuing our show on World Children's Day, focusing now on TV Pendidikan, since earlier on we talked about the impact that going virtual when it comes to school might have had on our students and our children. So joining me on the show now is Tony Cheng, Kulai MP, also of course former Deputy Minister of Education. YB, thank you so much for being with us. So to start off, what are your observations from the two-hour daily sessions on TV Pendidikan? Could you describe what they show?
what I see from the program is like the time that allocated that is 2 hours daily is just too limited. It's just not enough because we have so many subjects. We have so many different grades that need to cover. They are doing it through RTM. That is, of course, free for everybody. Another channel they are using it is through Astro Tutor TV. For you to watch or to follow the programs of Astro Tutor TV, of course, first of all, you need to be an Astro subscriber. And then that, again, defeats the purpose of, like, for us to use television as a channel for education because not everybody is a subscriber for Astro. Me, myself, is not a subscriber to Astro. So from what I observed through 9th of November until 18th of November, the A time for each subject for different grades is very, very limited. For example, we talk about Form 1, and they only have 3 subjects that being aired. One is Bahasa Malaysia. Within these 10 days, the total air time is 27.5 minutes. And then we have another 30 minutes for science, and then another 60 minutes for Pendidikan Civic. So that's it for Tingkatan Satu. Same goes to Tingkatan Dua, where you only have like 10 minutes for science and then another 20 minutes for Reka Bentuk and Technology. So if we compare a normal situation if a kids go to school, usually for BM, they will have like 300 minutes a week. And then the total school time or the total learning time they have in school is 1,500 minutes. But nowadays, we see the total program air in the past 10 days for the secondary school is about 1,177 minutes. So I would say it's in my opinion that education through TV is very, very important because not every kid has access to internet. There is not every kid has suitable device for online study. And therefore, for this group of students, which according to the MOE study, they said 37% of the students don't have a device for them to follow online learning. And therefore, for this group of students, I think TV Pendidikan or Education TV is another platform for them to catch up with the learning. And therefore, I think it's very important for MOE and also the government to increase the broadcast time for different grades and also for more subjects.
So while we're talking about increasing the airtime of Education TV, I also wanted to look at quality of programming. What improvements do you think could be made there?
The good news is, according to the announcement made by MOE on 18th of November, that they are now working together with NTV7. So NTV7 also will broadcast 3 hours of Education TV starting from 23rd of November until end of this year. So I think it's a good improvement. But however, I would still say that we hope to see more increase in the near future. In terms of the quality, I think it's very crucial for MOE to actually also make use of this opportunity to make sure that they get the best teacher for each subject to actually record the lesson and then broadcast it. Because I think this is some idea that some countries are already practicing even before COVID-19. One example is like for English. We know that even our English teacher, their English might not be perfect. Some parents also always complain about the English of our English teacher. So how do we overcome it? How some countries overcome this issue is actually they get the best teacher to actually record the lesson, and then the teachers in the classroom will actually show it, and then later on, the teacher in the classroom will become the coordinator or the moderator to assist the children, to assist the students in their learning. And therefore, if all the effort that we put in now to set up a proper channel, to get the best teacher to record the lesson, will not be wasted even after COVID-19 pandemic, because this is something that we should actually explore, and hopefully we can improve the quality of teaching and learning, and also to a certain extent solve the problem of shortage of teacher in some crucial subjects and some crucial area.
You mentioned earlier that TV learning is an important tool. How would you measure and rate the overall efficacy of TV Pendidikan?
Actually, I put in a question on this. I put in a question to MOE during this parliament session. I'm asking them to share with us the effectiveness of TV pendidikan. I haven't got the answer for this question yet. So I think how many students are learning through this, the existing TV education channel is something that we need the figures for MOE to provide so that we can adjust, so that we can do our assessment, and then hopefully to also do some improvement. At this stage, MOE did not actually mention about the effectiveness of TV pendidikan that they have established since April. The first TV education education TV channel that they launched is on the 5th of April, and then they launched the Astro Filter TV in May. But until today, I don't think they have shared the data on how many students are actually following this program. But I think actually not all the parents are aware of this program as well. So a certain degree of publicity, I believe, is also needed so that more parents are aware of it.
And if I can pick up on something else that you've said, you have mentioned that the shuttering of schools nationwide needs to be reconsidered. Maybe you could elaborate on this.
First of all, I think the decision to close all the schools since 9th of November nationwide, I think is a bit too harsh, because there are many areas that are actually green zone. For example, in Pahang, zero active case, zero new case. And so why there is a need to actually close the school in Pahang, where we know that there are many sekolah orang asli in Pahang, and therefore the digital gap is definitely very, very big for these schools and for the children in kampung orang asli. And therefore, for us to expect them to continue their study and learning through digital learning, I think is a little bit unrealistic. Also, for example, in Sarawak, whereby 80% of the area is actually green zone, and most of them are actually in interior area. So I think, first of all, MOE should perhaps review their SOP to close school. Other than that, I think it depends on the area and the logistic problem. I have seen that, I saw it on the Facebook, whereby we got some teachers handing the books to the children door by door to actually check their homework, etc. But again, it really depends on the local situation. And therefore, I think certain degree of autonomy should be given to the district education office and also to the school for them to decide whether is there a need for them to close the school. I think we need to be very, very realistic here. COVID-19 virus will stay in our community for quite some time until we can afford to get vaccine for everyone. Until then, it is actually quite difficult for us to close all the schools when suddenly certain areas become red zone. We can close the school now and then reopen it in mid of January next year. But who can guarantee that in February or even like end of January, there won't be other states become red zone? And then is that going to trigger another nationwide school closure? So how do we manage the education of study at this critical period is very, very important, so that this generation, especially the children, they won't become a lost generation.
And with so much uncertainty, therefore, I think, as to whether schools will be reopened or when, what else can we do to increase student access to learning materials and to improve student outcomes overall?
Okay, I think it's very important for us to make the learning material widely available. So whether we leave it in the school for the parents to go there to collect, or we put it online, etc., I think that is very crucial for us to make sure that kids can get materials for their learning. And therefore, various channels, for example, online, TV, radio, all these channels should be considered. And I think it's a crucial time for us to invest on all these as well.
And finally, in the spirit of this being World Children's Day, we also wanted to ask, I mean, how are you coping with home learning and making sure your children are doing okay?
It's quite challenging. I myself have three kids, two in kindergarten and then one in primary school. The 4 years old one is only 1 hour a day. For the 6 year old, is 3 hours a day. And 8 years old, it depends on her school schedule and also her after school care, the so-called tuition center. So to me, actually, it's quite challenging because, for example, the young kids, if you are not sitting there with them, it's very difficult for them to concentrate. So me, myself, need to sit there with them and learning ABC all over again. And I myself also face a problem like whereby we don't have sufficient devices for each one of them to conduct their online learning. So sometimes I need to let my children to use my laptop whereby I have to like stop working for perhaps a while, not using the laptop so that they can use my laptop for their own study. So that's why I think it's very taxing on the part of parents, especially for those parents who need to work from home. Because when they work from home, they also need to concentrate on their work. By children, whenever they have the difficulties in their online study, they will naturally come to us and ask for our help. This is something we all need to try to overcome together. So I won't deny that it is actually very challenging, very taxing. I think many, many parents will complain about it, but I would think it in a very positive way that at least my children, they are able to follow some online learning compared to some area whereby kids don't have access to it totally, whereby I believe that for them to continue their learning would be even a bigger challenge. So I really think that how do we overcome this issue to make sure that the gap between urban and also rural area and the gap between the M40, T20 and the B40 will not become larger and bigger after the COVID-19 pandemic is a very serious issue that I think MOE and the government need to really, really look into it very, very carefully and deeply.
YB, thank you for taking the time to speak with us. That was Teo Ni Ching, Kulai MP and former Deputy Minister of Education, talking about TV Pendidikan as well as giving schools and state districts the autonomy to open schools that are located within green zones. Do you agree with that? I mean, do you think that that would be a good move in order to get children who are safe to go to school back on track? If not, what other avenues could we explore to improve the learning experience of students who may not have the same access to the internet and technology that some others do? That number to call, 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.